Welcome to week four of Private Practice Bootcamp. And so this week was a bit of a catch-up week, a bit of a culmination of really what we've been working on up until now. So still spending some time with who your ideal client is, what the vision is, and then trying to combine it now into your bio. And I noticed this week that it was quite quiet in the board. That's pretty much to be expected. This is one that what I'd love for you to do is start and just see what you can get down at this point, even if it's just feels like throwing mud at a wall. We're going to hone this as we go. So don't feel like you need to have it perfect this week. It's just more I want you to start thinking about how all of these pieces are going to start fitting together. So it's okay if it feels a little bit clunky. It should at this point, and I do promise you by the time we hit the end, it's going to flow much easier for you and it's going to feel like it fits. But I want you to start just putting words on a paper at this point so that we have something to work with. It's easier to edit something that exists as opposed to just starting something new. So with that in mind, the way this week generally works, because it isn't a whole lot of new information per se, is I wanted to just today be a little bit of almost a continuation from last week, as well as obviously if there's any questions around the bios in particular, but really if there's anything up until this point that you're feeling a little bit stuck on, noticing some resistance to, really anything at all, now is the time. So I'll open it up to just, is there any questions about what we've been working on so far?
I was wondering.
Okay.
Just so there's the professional bio, but then there's also that we write our own story?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that the same? That's different?
They're different.
Okay.
And I recommend having both. You don't have to. The background and approach is really the type of thing that you're going to end up putting on a directory. Because we're often with the directories, you don't have as much space. So they're really just looking for a quick one pager that is the overview of what do you do? Who do you work with? And you know, this is my background, but I do find there's a lot of power in having the second one. Because that's really where people are getting that sense of who you are. Why did you become a therapist? What is it about this work that's really interesting for you? A little bit about your journey. So it's a bit more personal and actually really about you, as opposed to just here's my qualifications and here are the issues that I work with. And because it feels a little bit more personal, I find it's often something that people really connect to. So that's why I always recommend having both if you can. You don't have to. I find sometimes people will put them on the same page, but just have them as two separate pieces of the same page. On mine, if you look at my website at constancelynn.com, which is my private practice one, I actually have three separate pages of about me. And one is my story, one is my background, and then I have another one on my core values, and we're going to be working on that next week. And for some people, they'll really incorporate all of them into one, or split them into two, or in my case, I use three. So there isn't really a right way, but there's aspects of all of them that are I find really important. So even if it's just a sentence or two from each, incorporating them is what's going to allow people to really connect with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything about that you wanted clarified or?
I think it's going to be tougher because it's that sort of, you know, what do you talk about and how in depth do you talk about it?
Yes.
And because you're really talking about it to let somebody, or how I see it, I think I understand, is to let them know where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. And it can help build that rapport even before you meet the person.
Absolutely.
But then being a little strategic in what you do talk about.
So absolutely.
It's going to be where I spend more time thinking.
Yes.
Yes. And then actually I had one more question, but is somebody else having a burning, not to monopolize?
No, go for it.
So then I just had a quick look at some of your feedback, and I haven't totally got there, but I know at the end I had talked about some of the, you know, therapist stuff that, you know, you do for your professional registration. I had included some of that because I was thinking, my thought was to, even if people don't know what it is, that it builds some credibility.
And it does. The ones that are going to build credibility are the ones that people know about.
Okay.
You know? Whereas, so that's where if it's something that, so for example, on mine, I include Gottman because general public often has heard of Gottman. Even if they don't really know what it is, it's one of those ones where if they go into the self-help section, they've seen the name. So it kind of means something. Whereas if it's kind of an obscure training that other therapists would be really impressed by, but your ideal client would be like, cool, they've done a thing. I just find it doesn't necessarily have as much weight in that section. What I recommend is actually, again, it's really going to depend on how much space you have allowed to you. Different directories only allow certain amounts of space. So from a bang for buck perspective, it's not really getting you what you're hoping for. Whereas what you can do is actually have a little education section or continuing professional development or whatnot after that. And then you can list them all.
Oh, okay. Like in a directory.
So in the directory, sometimes they'll allow extra space for that.
Oh, okay.
Have a word count, but on your actual website, that's where I would actually put that in your background and approach, is actually having a list. Again, on mine, I have my background, and then I have a section for my education. So it shows these are where my degrees and such are from. And then I have a section for training, which has all of my professional development pieces. And so people can, again, go see, you know, yes, I have specialized training in this and this and this and this. And then underneath that, I have groups that I facilitated. Just so, again, it's showing that extra piece that this is another piece that I have experience with. You know, so you can kind of break it out. It's just a matter of having the background and approach section, your bio section, as something that can be self-contained so that you can use it in a few different places. But then on your web page and your actual website, you can add as much as you want.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever attach a CV, Constance?
Some people do. On my site, it's almost as if it's a CV. It's just not quite as formal. It's absolutely a personal choice. I know definitely some people will actually have just here is either my CV right on the website, or you can have it as a downloadable. It's really personal preference. And knowing that who's your client, are they going to want to see a CV, or is seeing it on your website going to be enough?
Yeah.
You know, so it's more for you personally. Is that something that you would want to do? And then is that something you feel like your clients would resonate with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there isn't really a right answer there.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Perfect. Well, and Janine's just speaking to something that you had said, when it comes to, I always call it kind of the, almost like the love letter to your clients, that I always use the rule of, if it's something I would share with a stranger on the bus, it's fair game. So for myself, that's my line in the sand. If I would feel completely comfortable sharing that piece of information with someone that I'd known for 30 seconds and may never see again, and I'd be okay with them knowing that piece of information about me, that's the level of something I'd share in an online profile. Because you really don't know who's going to get access to that information. Really, once it's online, it's no longer really yours. So for me, that's my gauge. What I might share with a client in session from a self-disclosure standpoint would look different than what you're going to find on my website.
Right. Okay.
But it's just enough. You know, I think I'd mentioned it in one of the other calls I have on there that I was a first mate on a sailboat. And that is common knowledge. Anyone who knows me knows that that's part of my story. And yet it's also a piece that really resonates with some people, either because they've sailed before or they've traveled before, or they just like that kind of thing. It's just that little point of connection that people get a sense of who I am, whether it's accurate or not, but they've already started building a picture of the person that I am based on that type of information.
Yeah, totally.
So that's where going through that exercise in week two of just who are you? What are the things in your life and the experiences that you've had? Those actually become little pieces of that are the types of things that you would be dropping into your website, into your About You section, and obviously with discretion and knowing your client of what would actually resonate with them. Okay. But it doesn't have to be, you know, here's my diary. It can obviously be really, really strategic about what you share, but being able to share something is what makes us human. That's what people are really connecting with.
Okay. Yeah. So something I thought of that this might be a little bit out there is just, I don't know, I feel, well, I'm sharing much about myself and knowing that it's on the web. So I like you put yourself out there to be the target. Well, so I just like, yeah.
So you're worried that people will target you?
Well, it possibly, like, so, yeah,
I guess. Okay. Essentially. And when you say target, what in what way?
I don't know, if you've ever had a conflict, if you've ever, you know, somebody from 10 years ago or something, you know, anybody can Google you, you want your name to come up because mm-hmm. this is private practice, so you want to put yourself out there, and then, you know, there's your contact information, and they can, I mean, I guess it's not, probably doesn't usually happen, but if it does happen, I mean, I know I have friends who worked in different in child services and stuff, and they go under a different name or anytime they're on, their name's on Google, but yet when you're private practice, you're really putting your name in yourself.
Well, and I guess that's the difference between professional and private and personal, really, is okay. What you're putting out there professionally really is, and this is really the difference, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week when it comes to branding, is your brand is different than you.
Okay, sure. And that's separating that.
And so there is the brand of you as a therapist online, and then there is you, the person. Okay. And obviously we want there to be some congruence between the two. We don't want you to kind of be one person in one place and a totally different one over there.
Right.
But the aspects of what you're going to be sharing online really is going to be crafted, and this is what I'm presenting to the public.
Okay.
Versus you're now putting yourself completely out there. I don't think you need to worry so much about being targeted. It's not generally something people...
Well, I don't mean just like randomly. I'm just thinking, you know, something I've forgotten about 10 years ago and, you know, cause, yeah.
But I guess realistically, the way I look at it is that they could find you regardless. Like there really isn't that much. If somebody really wants to find you in this day and age, they can. Okay. And it's just a matter of what information you're putting out there as far as people who don't know you.
Right.
And that's where, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the logistics section. I always recommend getting a separate phone line other than your personal one, just for that exact reason, is it just provides a little bit of separation between you, the person in your life, versus you, the professional.
Right.
You're not going to find that many people just trolling.
No, I'm not thinking. I'm just thinking, years ago I had worked with somebody, a positive thing, and I'd gotten some award, and then they had Googled my name and somehow mysteriously, and then they were on my email again. So it was all great, but I'm just thinking, well, I don't know, 20 years ago, something weird happened, an ex.
So well, and that's...
Yeah, but that's it's really special, so I guess, I don't know, I probably sound really weird now.
Well, and that really is the piece, and I don't think you're alone in that fear,
okay.
Because there really is a vulnerability in putting yourself out there. There is a certain amount of, yes, this is me, and now I'm putting myself out there for the public, and there are going to be certain people who like what I have to put out there. There's going to be certain people who don't. There's going to be certain people that will judge you. And just having to be comfortable. So this is why I was saying in the beginning, your stuff is going to show up. in your practice. Because there is that part of, okay, now I'm having to publicly say, this is who I am, and know that there are people that I no longer have control over that information. And there's going to be people who are going to do what they want with it. And so all we can really do is control, this is what I'm putting out there, and making sure you're very comfortable with whatever it is that you're putting out there.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's the, like, the notion of private practice. It's like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, I've always kept, you know, personal, professional. It's easy. You know, I go to job, I work for this person, I do these things, and it's very compartmentalized. But I mean, and in a private session, you connect with whatever needs to happen in that moment, but then putting it on, I feel like I'm putting myself on display.
And you are.
This is a big,
absolutely. Yeah, and that's really a big, one of the biggest challenges I find with private practice is the fact that you have nowhere to hide. So you have to get really clear and really comfortable with who you are, which can be scary. It's really, it really forces us to face ourselves and get really comfortable with, this is who I am, and I'm putting it out there, and then I can't hide behind an agency or another company. I'm the one making these choices. So ultimately everything that's going out there is because I have, is because I did that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I'm wondering, does anyone else share kind of a similar fear of just, okay, now I'm putting this out there and what's everybody going to think about me?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, as I was working on, I have to apologize, I'm just getting over a cold. But as I was working on the bio, I did actually really notice the shift in, almost a shift in positioning. It's like I'm sort of talking to this imaginary client, but now I'm also having to reveal things about myself.
Yeah.
And also sort of enter into a relationship where... I'm me. I'm sharing bits of myself and bits of my own personal likes and ways of working and a little bit about my personality.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised at how stressed I was, like, trying to write this bio.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is so, you know, stressful.
Yeah, it's a really enjoying
it as well, and kind of. Looking at my history and again sort of realizing that there are aspects of my history and experience that I can really bring forward versus the way I'd been looking at it was really looking at my deficits in terms of my training and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kept sort of thinking, oh, I have to keep getting more training and more experience. And then also realizing, well, no, I also have this other experience that I could actually resource.
Absolutely.
Here. So yeah, very interesting. Yeah,
for sure. Well, and you really want to approach your bio. I would say the biggest mistake most therapists make when it comes to writing their bio and their about them sections is they write it for other therapists. And because we're using the language of other therapists, we're writing it so if another therapist read our bio, they'd be very impressed with how magical we are and all how well-trained we are. And it looks great to other therapists. And unfortunately, usually it's other therapists that we show our bios to and say, hey, what do you think? And of course, we get a pat on the back and say, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. You sound really smart and wonderful. I would totally go to you. But that's not your ideal client. And your ideal client actually has a different lens. They don't care as much about a lot of the fancy jargon that we love to use because it makes us feel really smart because we spend a lot of time and money learning those words and thinking about the training that we have. That's usually not what people are specifically looking for. They're really wanting to get a sense of who you are and how you work. Not necessarily the methodologies that you use, how do you work? What is your understanding of what it is that they're entering into? No. The only time it's that I would say really, really emphasize certain techniques or certain modalities is if they're specialties. You know, so for example, if someone has, say, training in EMDR, that's actually something that you're going to want to put front and center. You obviously wouldn't necessarily start with that unless your whole specialty was around EMDR and trauma. But that's something that often people will be told they need to go find someone that has EMDR. So that might be the piece that they're specifically looking for. You know, that's why for me, I use Gottman, just because it's one that people think, oh, well, couples counselor, if they don't have Gottman, then maybe they don't know what they're talking about. So I put it right in there that, yes, I have that. So that's where looking at the training that you do have, there's going to be some that are absolutely going to be very, very relevant for your clients, that they're actually going to, in seeing them, it's going to give you a lot of credibility. And then there's other ones that really other therapists are going to love. And then your clients, it's going to go over their heads. So just, and that's where, for me, the way I find getting around that is it's just having a separate section. So if someone really wants to go see all the various trainings that you've done, they can go there. But you're not going to overwhelm them necessarily in the larger section. Pick a few that feel relevant, and you can even just put among others. And then on your website, making sure that you highlight them there. But for the most part, people aren't looking for a theory. They're looking for a person. So it's like, I know a lot of you have said this, and I've had this multiple times when people have looked at my website and I say, well, why did you pick me? And they said, oh, I liked your picture. You seemed really nice. They had no idea what my specialties were. They had nothing else. Or else if they did, it was very broad. You know, I'm having issues with my relationship. I clicked on the relationship tab on this directory, and then I looked at people's pictures and you seemed nice. That's usually how people are picking. Yeah. Is from that really emotional place. So we want to actually connect with them at that emotional place and then give them the information that they can back up that choice after the fact. Which means we have to be a little bit vulnerable. Thanks, Nadine.
Thanks.
So anyone else, what's been coming up for people as you've been trying to write your bios?
I realized that mine was outdated on my website.
Okay. That's no good.
I think that that was a good exercise, because at first when I saw the homework, I'm like, oh, this is easy. I'll just take my copy off my website. And then I reviewed it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's out of date, and that's out of date.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So it needed some updating to the person that you are today.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. So what did you find that you were adding in after doing
I have some training that I have completed since I put that copy on previously.
Perfect.
And then I pretty much kind of left it the same way it was, but I do know that I want to go back and sort of change it a little bit more. It sort of followed kind of the format that you had. But you know, I think I could tweak it a little bit better just to make it a little bit more, well, like you said, more of sort of layman's terms and less sort of clinical stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah, especially, I find that, I mean, and we'll talk about this in some of the later weeks of the program, but there is something about going back and just revisiting the content of your site and all of your materials and just figuring out, okay, is this who I am now, or is that the therapist that I was 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Because as you evolve, your content is really going to evolve. You're gonna add certain things, or you're going to highlight certain things more than others.
So
I'm glad there was a few new pieces there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thanks, Sean. So anyone else? What did you notice that was maybe, were you resisting doing this exercise? Was there any kind of emotions that were coming up for you when it came to actually writing your bios, especially for those of you that maybe this is the first time that you're writing it?
I think there were a couple things that came up for me at the, well, one was feeling just because I'm new, that I didn't have a lot to put in it. So, and that just keeps coming up over and over again.
Okay.
And I don't want to sort of try and make myself out to be something I'm not, but I also, you know, want to come across as professional and knowledgeable. So that's challenging for me. And then the other piece is just like, I just can't figure out who I'm writing it to, I think is what it is. So I feel really kind of adrift.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time sort of figuring out who my ideal client is, or I don't even know if it's that, like if it's a hard time kind of committing to who I think my ideal client is, or maybe it's that.
Okay.
So yeah, those are the things that came up.
Perfect. Well, and my guess is it's probably a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely in our, we need to book a one-on-one call, because often just talking that out, it becomes a lot easier to get clear when it feels like, you know, there's kind of this group that I think I want to work with, but I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll definitely work that out.
Okay.
We will not be adrift for long.
Thank you.
Well, and even with being new to the field, you actually do still have a lot of experience, and that's the piece. It's not about pretending to be something you're not, but it's about highlighting what you already are.
Right.
So even if from an actual experience in the field perspective, you're in the process of gaining that.
Yeah.
There are pieces that you can fill that with, and then as you go, it's really this is a kind of a living, breathing document. And so as you do all the extra pieces of training, as you just get more experience, as you go to workshops, that's where you can really start to build those pieces in.
Mm-hmm.
So this one really is, even if it's just bare bones at this point, it's just, if we can just get it down, it's going to be much easier to work with as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perfect. Thanks, Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone else? And this can be on anything up until now, whether it's ideal client or vision for practice, or just really this is the catch-all week before we go into the branding pieces. How about for you, Tanu? How's this been for you?
I mean, I think I definitely can relate with a lot of the others in terms of, you know, definitely feeling some resistance to writing something down because I just don't even really know where to start.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, you know, kind of mirroring Carmen a bit as well, that there are two populations that I would really like to tap into, and just kind of wondering if they even go together, or do I just pick one at this point for the sake of picking one? Just those kinds of questions. But really, I mean, I think I can take the advice to just get something down and it'll help things move along.
So what are the two populations that you're weighing?
Yeah, well, there's definitely the First Nations population that I would like to work more with. But just in terms of like my most recent experience being at UBC with students, and I really love that. Yeah. Age group and where they were at in life, and that they were making so many choices and just so much was new for them, and I really love that population. So I'm just not really sure if those two, if it's possible to write copy that kind of speaks to both.
I think you can. It's just going to be a matter of being a bit strategic in the way that you do it, but I definitely think that you can speak to two very distinct groups. You're just really going to have to be writing separate copy for both.
Right.
But they can still live in the same place.
Yeah.
So that's where you don't necessarily have to commit to one or the other, especially when you do have specializations with both. It's just a matter of when you're writing the copy, making sure that you're essentially writing to two different people.
Yes.
And then in your about you section, making sure that it's like you need to be adding a little bit that would entice both groups.
Right. Yeah.
And then with your services, you'd be tailoring those to the needs of both. So you may end up offering slightly different services to the to the different groups.
Right.
Is a way that you can address that.
Right.
And then what starts to happen is when you do have those two distinct groups, regardless of what they are, when you find the person that's actually the cross section of the two, you become the easiest choice in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're absolutely, no matter what the kind of two random pieces of populations that we would want to work with. There's absolutely people out there that are both of them. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes incredibly, incredibly easy.
Yeah.
So, and from a practice perspective, you actually start to get where you'll be pulling from two different groups. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to pull people who are only from one or only from another, but then also that cross-section. So it actually helps you keep your practice a little bit more vibrant because you are pulling from two very distinct groups.
Yeah.
From the marketing perspective, it just gets, you're doing a little bit of double time just because you often have different messages, but it's definitely doable.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. So does anyone else have any other questions for today? We still have about 15 minutes left. And it doesn't necessarily have to be of things we've covered. If there's anything else you were just wondering about, even if it's stuff in future content, I'm happy to build some questions as well. Everyone's so quiet tonight.
Very thoughtful.
I'm still working on figuring out what domain to go with, and I'm just wondering. So I'm still back there, and I have all these different ideas and this list of. But I'm just wondering. Like, I think I'm overthinking it, but I'm wondering what people landed on. Like, I'm getting kind of neurotic about things like. Is counseling too hard to spell? And if I can't get the American spelling and the Canadian spelling, then should I go with something different? And like, I'm just sort of perseverating, I think, on sort of strange things. So I don't know what people kind of landed on. I'd be interested in hearing.
So you'd like people to share what domain?
Yeah, or just like, I don't really have a specific question. Probably, I guess the biggest question is like, if like, for example, is counseling a hard word to spell for people? I know that sounds ridiculous, but feedback I'm getting is that people don't know how to spell counseling, so that shouldn't be in my domain, and things like that. Anyway, I don't know what my question is, but that's where I'm stuck. That's where I'm stuck.
It's not ridiculous at all. It's one where I think a lot of people get stuck.
Mm-hmm. So that's good.
I get confused about how to spell counseling. I moved here from the States, so I'm like, is it one L, is it two L's? For sure. And in terms of domain name, if I'm understanding correctly, like, I'm playing with the idea of evolvedape.net. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is that the domain name, so I don't even know if that's the
That's
what I'm playing with. And not putting, the counseling thing in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Well, and I think, I'm just thinking with Sean, it's logancreek.ca, is that right? Yeah? And then Tanu, had you decided on one yet?
I hadn't decided on one. I kind of was going back and forth just using my name because my name is quite unique on its own. And then also, like, you know, I in kind of my research and looking up other people's business names, the metaphorical ones I find really kind of intriguing, and it evokes, I guess, a feeling for me. And so I kind of like that, but I can't think of anything good metaphorically. So I got kind of stuck there, even though I like the idea of that. But I think in the end, I'll probably just go with my name. I haven't actually looked if it's available. I hope so.
My guess is, I mean, it's a pretty distinct name, so it probably is, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you don't necessarily use your name, and this goes for everybody, I would really, really recommend purchasing your name. If you want to. Just from a branding perspective, that means you have control over that domain. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you some options. You can start there. You can always change it. The great thing about domains is you can always route one to another. So, for example, with mine, if someone puts in ConstanceLynn.ca, it immediately takes them to ConstanceLynn.com. You know? And so you can do that in a year from now you change your mind. And so you went with TanuGamble.com mm-hmm. and then found maybe a metaphor that you liked and you decided mm-hmm. that you wanted to do that. You can actually keep both. And just if someone put in your name, it would just route them to the new site if that's what you wanted to do.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so it's, you don't have to worry so much about that you're kind of locking in forever to right. something. Sometimes it's just better to get something. Mm-hmm. And with your name, it's different than picking a brand name as if you were kind of managing an agency type thing. That's where you really want to get sure that this is what you want to use, just because branding that name. Whereas if it's actually just your name, mm-hmm. you're really not going to go wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you can always just route it to something else if you decide to change it.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have designs on being a corporate mogul or anything, so.
Yeah, I think you really just don't go wrong with a name.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's you.
Yeah.
So it's pretty straightforward. And then, and same for you, Carmen. You may just go with your name. I'm assuming Carmen Thompson is probably taken.
Yeah, I was going to go with my name, and carmenthompson.ca is available, but carmenthompson.com is. So I just, like, it's sort of like every, I don't know how important it is to get the .com domain, like, or if .ca would suffice. So it's just sort of little things like that.
Yeah. The only time I would say it would really matter is if whatever you were doing, you were wanting to really expand globally.
So oh, okay.
If you really saw yourself doing a lot of media, if you really saw yourself selling products or being more of a speaker or something along those lines, mm-hmm. then getting the .com would maybe be a little bit more important and yet also still not a huge deal.
Oh, okay.
Whereas mm-hmm. if you're planning on having a practice that is, you know, just you, and it's going to stay you, and you're going to stay in Canada, mm-hmm. that's really what a .ca is for.
Okay.
It's denoting that it's a Canadian
Canadian
business. No one else except for Canadians are allowed to buy those, so it is what it is in that context. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, if you can get both, that's great. Mm-hmm. Do you know who has that domain?
It's an artist. It's nothing scandalous or...
Exactly. And that's the other piece of just making sure that if someone did accidentally put in .com, uh-huh. be confused or it was you. I mean, as long as it's someone that is obvious, isn't a healthcare professional, then you're going to be fine. If they land on an artist page, they're going to figure out pretty quickly, okay, but maybe it was the CA.
Yeah.
And try again.
Okay. So, well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, if you feel like you can't land on anything, I would just start with your name.
I think that's kind of my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I do agree having counseling in a domain often can be tough for people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's the 1L, 2L debate, mm-hmm. but then there's often people who will put S's and C's in places that they shouldn't be. And it's just that you really want to keep your domain as short as possible.
Right.
So even if it was your name, counseling or whatnot, it's just often the word counseling is irrelevant.
Yeah.
In the actual domain, what your business name is called, absolutely, you can throw counseling. You can put lots of stuff in your business name if you'd like. The actual domain, the shorter you can make it, is really the better.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank you.
Perfect. Yeah. That was really for me why I ended up landing on my name. I had 50 million. Lovely names I researched, and mm-hmm. all the ones I wanted either just didn't make sense or were too hard to spell or people didn't know what they were. And it wasn't a grand master plan to go with ConstanceLynn.com. It was just, I figured Constance Lynn Hummel was too long.
Mm-hmm.
And Constance Lynn, I figured that's my name. I'm not changing that anytime soon. So it works.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
It's tough choosing a name.
It is. Now, with you, Maydene, did you choose the .net because the .com was taken?
Yeah. Yes. I think because I actually purchased the evolved8.com through GoDaddy, mm-hmm. but then I couldn't figure out how to sort of do the switch.
Okay.
So that's something I need to look into. And then, you know, it honestly, it didn't occur to me that there would be, like to me personally, I didn't really care. I thought, oh, you know, .com, .ca, .net, it's all the same to me. Mm. So I just went ahead and, you know, sort of purchase the evolvedape.net.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess I should look into the evolvedape.com.
.com is really seen as the most credible.
Okay. .com,
.ca are really, people see those as more as legitimate.
And, right.
And often
right.
when you start heading into the .nets, .biz, those types of thing, it's one extra thing where people are looking as, is this
yeah, it makes it stand out.
Exactly.
In not necessarily a good way. Okay, mm-hmm. that is very helpful. I did not know that.
So I wasn't sure if it was because the .com was taken or, but yeah, if you can, I would go there. And I mean, there's obviously nowadays there's also like vanity ones, where it's kind of dot something, an actual word, afterwards. So it's becoming more more acceptable to have something other than a .com or a .ca. But those really are the ones that people, there's a trust factor with those. People understand that those are what they are. And as soon as you start seeing different endings, it's just you're having to now pass that hurdle for people who are saying, is this a scam site? Is this, what is this?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, unless it makes sense for your brand, like especially .nets tend to be more online businesses. Mm-hmm. That's usually where they came out. So there would almost too, if anybody knew that, there would be almost an assumption that your business was majority online and that maybe you didn't offer face to face.
Oh, okay.
So, which again, maybe is true, maybe isn't, but there's just mm-hmm. that perception mm-hmm. with .nets. That there's something about them that is online based.
Okay, which is something I'd be interested in for the future. So maybe there's a way I can kind of hold on to both.
Oh, I would hold on to both just from a branding perspective. If you're going to go with that name, it doesn't hurt to have it, but you would just route it to the main site.
Right.
So you can have multiple helpful. Website domains all pointing to the same actual website. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you'd have a different site on all the different ones. You could just create your main site, but then you just send all of those domain names all to the same place.
Okay.
Yeah. So if somebody did put in .net, it would still send them to your .com. If someone put in your .com, it would just go to that same place. So that's why I always say if someone is going to have counseling, get both the American and the Canadian, because that way at least you're catching both. If someone spells it the American way, it'll at least route them to your Canadian site or vice versa, depending on the version you use. So that way it's like you're accounting for spelling mistakes.
So once you purchase a domain, you could reroute it to another one, but you can't ever cancel or change that name?
Well, you could just buy
it. It'll expire. And yeah, then it'll expire, but you couldn't change it once you put it in.
Oh, yeah, you can always change it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can always change it. So if that's what I was saying, like if you had one domain and then you decided, okay, I'm actually going to rebrand and go with a completely different name, you can actually move your site to the new one. So essentially your website now is the new name and then just route the old domain over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's where, don't get too hung up on the domain. I mean, we need to put some thought into it just because obviously that is what's going to go in business cards and marketing. But you're also not stuck with it forever. If for some reason you decide, okay, I want to change or I'm going to just go in a different direction, it's easy enough to move between them. And if you can also just quit paying for one and then it's just no longer yours, and away you go. Mm-hmm. What I will say though is if you have a domain name that you start with and then you switch to a different one down the road, don't give up the original one. You're going to want to hold on to that, because it, the longer a site exists, the more credibility it has as far as Google is concerned. And so you're going to want to hold on to that domain, because it's going to increase the SEO of your new site if that's where it's routing to. So for any of you who are building a brand new website, when you first immediately launch your website, it's going to be really hard for you to be found by Google, because it's so brand new, Google isn't going to trust it. But the longer that you've had the site, the more trustworthy your website is considered. So even if you do down the road decide to change, I've seen this happen a few times where people have had a site for a long time and then rebranded and then decided, well, I don't need that domain anymore, and they've actually got rid of it. But there's a lot of people that may have been searching it as far as Google's concerned. And also, if you have anyone who has an old business card of yours or an old email from you, it allows you to still catch those people. If they're trying to search for you 5-6 years later and they go to that same website, you can still route them over. So you're allowing people to follow you, even if where you're living online moves a little bit.
Okay. So you recommend doing your website and stuff yourself, or having somebody do it professionally?
It depends on you. I don't think you need to spend a lot of money to get your first website up and running. And we're going to cover that, I believe it's week 9, is exploring online. So we're going to go through websites and kind of all the pieces that you need to have on there to just get your first website up and running. But you don't need to worry. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on it in the beginning, but if you yourself are not tech savvy, I would absolutely hire someone to do that initial setup for you. For me, I taught myself how to code for my websites just because I like figuring out that kind of stuff. But I had people around me who do that for a living, who just were willing to teach me how to do that. If that's not something you want to spend your time on and you would rather actually be spending it on joy, I would absolutely just, that's a problem I would throw money at if you can. So there's certain business problems that throwing money at them is going to be the best thing you can do. Other ones, it's really good for you to really get your hands dirty with. That's one. It's important that you know the really, really basics. And with a basic website and a good programmer, they're going to be able to show you that if you wanted to add a page or if you wanted to change a word here and there, then you're going to be able to go in and do that. Whereas the actual complete setup, for someone who knows what they're doing, that's not going to take them very long. All right. Okay.
Great.
So that brings us to the end for tonight. And and again, with your bios that you do have, even if it doesn't feel like it's in perfect condition, just throw them in the group, and then we can go back and forth. And I can help you actually in the editing of that. So if you do want some help, like I said, throw it in there and we'll figure it out together. You don't have to do it alone.
Great. And before I forget, I wanted to ask one thing. My friend and I were actually putting together a workshop. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask if it would be okay to post some information in the group about this workshop that we're putting together.
I'm totally fine with that.
Okay.
Yes, we want to support everybody and what they're doing already. So feel free to post that.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right. Well, have a good night, guys. And like I said, you know where to find me.
Thanks. Good night. Thank you. Good night. Thanks so much. Good night.